بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing our discussion about الإيمان بالله عز وجل, believing in Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the powerful and strong, the one who was alive and he never dies. And he is the most kind and loving to his believing slaves. And he is the provider and the sustainer and the cherisher and the one who is raising and disposing of the affairs of this entire creation. Rabbuna, Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, he is Allah. And we have seen that believing in Allah requires for us to believe in His existence and that He is alive and He never dies and He has no beginning nor end. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not hungry or thirsty and He does not get tired and He does not sleep. Rather, He is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the creator of all things and He is the one who has brought everything into existence and given everything its shape and its form. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one likewise who is providing for His creation and sustaining them from His grace and His mercy and His blessing. And He is الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the provider and sustainer and He's very, very strong. And He's very, very strong. يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. And He feeds and He's not fed. وَلَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. And He does not get sleepy or tired. And He's never weak. الْقَوِي الْعَزِيز. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And we see that believing in His existence and believing in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, requires for us to believe in His الرُّبُوبِيَّة. And that means that He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer. And that means that everything in His creation belongs to Him and that He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of the creation. And it is for this reason, likewise, that we see that He is the one who has the absolute perfect and most beautiful names and attributes with no deficiencies whatsoever. Alone, and nobody shares with Him in that because He is the one who was alive and never dies and He is the one who knows and sees and hears all things and He is the one who has created and provided for all things and He is the one who has no need for anything yet everything needs Him. Allahu Akbar, As-Samad, Al-Ahad, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, from here we see that He is the only one who's worthy of worship and everything that's worshiped besides Him is falsehood. It's falsehood. So therefore, we also believe in His uluhiyyah. And that is that He is the one who is perfect and supreme in might and strength and knowledge and wisdom and His life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has divinity. And He is the one who's worthy of worship alone with no partners. With no partners, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our previous class, we're discussing the issues of al-khalq. And we discussed the issues of mulk, or milk. And milk, it means ownership. And in mulk, it means dominion and supreme authority. And Allah, He has both of them. Lahu al-mulk, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the malik. Malihi al-mulk, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about these affairs. And we've seen the difference between the ability that the human being has to create, that Allah has given him, and in reality, he's not creating anything. Rather, he is just transforming some things from the creation into other forms and shapes by the permission of Allah and the mercy of Allah for him. And Allah, He brings things into existence from nothing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who's providing and sustaining all of these things. As for the human being, then He uses the creation to His advantage and to His benefit. And that's a mercy from Allah for him. And He makes these different things like vehicles and houses and homes and computers and creates all these new devices and beneficial things that he can use to benefit, to make life more easy and beneficial for him. And all of this is allowed in the limits of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we see that the human being is restricted in that manner and in that manner. meaning in the universal manner, he can only create what Allah has allowed for him to create in his universe, and he can only do with his creation what Allah has allowed for him to do with his creation in his legislation. And likewise, Allah, he has authority and ownership over all things. And from his kindness and mercy, he gives the creation, some of the creation, ownership and authority over certain things. And this is a mercy from Allah. And that person who has some authority over something, then that is given to him by Allah. And his authority is restricted. For example, somebody who has been given a child, and that child belongs to them, and that's their child. That's a favor from Allah and a provision from Allah. And Allah, he is the real owner of that child. And that child truly belongs to Allah. And he is the Malik subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the one who created it and provide for it and sustain it. As for the parent, then this is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah wants, he'll make the child sick. And if Allah wants, he'll make the child healthy. And if Allah wants, he takes the soul of the child. And if Allah wants, he gives the child a long life. If Allah wants, he guides the child. If Allah wants, he does not guide the child. It's all entirely in the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the parent, of course, the parent would love for the child to not be sick and want it to be healthy. And the parent would love for the child to be guided and not be misguided. But these are the affairs that are in the hands of Malik al-Mulk subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of Malik al-Mulk, Allah Azza wa Jal. So although the child is under the authority of the parent does not have ultimate authority over the child, because the authority of the parent is limited. It's limited. You understand that? And likewise, the parent can't tell the child just to do anything like haram stuff. Go get some pork chops, or go to the haram store and buy alcohol. A'udhu billah. Can't do that, because also there's restrictions in the legislation to the mulk, or the milk of the human being. So the absolute king and owner and possessor of authority is the creator and provider and sustainer, Allah. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we left off in our previous class. And the last affair to discuss was about at-tadbir. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the mudabbir, al-musarrif. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs. And he is the one who causes the sun to come up and to go down. And he is the one who sends the rain from the sky in different times. And he causes the seasons to change. And the days are alternating and coming one after another. But every day is a new day. And the actions in every day are new actions. And accountability is upon those deeds. So a believer, he should be careful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who's causing the feet to grow. And last year, about this time, there were some students, they had size 3s. And some other students, they had maybe like size 5s. And now if you look down at your foot right now, maybe you have like a size 7. Oh, subhanallah. Subhanallah. How did your foot go from a 3 to a 7? Allahu Akbar. They're growing. Maybe right now, if we look around at our little brothers, we see that, hey, that's my shirt. Hey, you might look at your little brother or your little sister right now and be like, wait a second, he's wearing my shirt. And that used to be your shirt. Meaning before, you were that little, so little that you're wearing your little brother's clothes. Meaning that your clothes now become your little brother's clothes and they don't fit you no more because you're growing. That's from Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the mudabbir. He is the one who's causing you to grow. But how does he do it? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does like one ear grow real big and the other one grow a little bit? Huh? Huh? Or like the leg, one leg is getting real long and the other leg is just staying there a little bit behind. Huh? Or like the head is getting real big and then the bottom is like staying small. Huh? No, that's not how it goes. How does it go? How do we see the creation of Allah and the tadbir of Allah and the disposing of the affairs of Allah Azza wa Jal for His creation? Is it not in the best manner? Making the ears and the eyes and the mind and the heart and the arms and the legs and the feet, they all grow together in the best proportion. They're all growing together in the best proportion. Such a beautiful manner. And it's such an amazing affair. Whenever a child is born and he comes out of the womb of the mother And the dad, he looks at it and he says, Allahu Akbar. And he, oh, his ears are there. Let me see his feet. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10 toes. Allahu Akbar. Look at his hands. Oh, they're all there. All his feet and hands are there. His eyes are there. And his nose is there. And it's so little. And it's so little. And he holds him and makes adhan in the ear. And he loves the child so much. And then the child gets big and big and big and big and big and big and big. Allahu Akbar. In the best manner. How does that happen? Who is in control of this affair? Allah, Allah, Al-Khaliq, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Malik, Al-Raziq. Naam, the one who is alive and he never dies. The one who is the creator and sustainer and the provider. He is the one who is in charge. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs. And he does it in the best manner. So not only is he the creator, he's the best of those who create. He creates in the best manner, in the most beautiful way. And not only is he the provider and the sustainer, but he provides in the best way, in the most beautiful way. And not only is he disposing of the affairs of the creation, he does that in the most beautiful manner and in the best and most beneficial way for his creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the creator and he knows best. Because he is the creator and he knows best. Some people, you know what they do? They worship cows. Yeah, some people, they worship cows. What do the cows do? Walk around eating grass, making sounds, and if you call him, he just says moo, and if you don't call him, he just says moo, and then if you got some food, he'll come, and then, yani, but then they worship the cow. Even some of them, they lay in the street and let the cows walk on their backs, and they love them. And even some of them, like they're like starving and everything else in their country, and they have no food, but they got all these cows running around, and they don't touch them because they worship the cow. But what happens whenever Eid al-Adha comes, and the Muslims are celebrating for 4 days? What happens to the cows? Huh? Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. Allahu Akbar. How we slaughter them. Can the cow protect himself? How can he protect them? The cow can't even protect himself from becoming a steak and a hamburger and a hot dog and all these other beneficial things Allah created the cows for us to use and to benefit from, to ride on. And likewise, we make shoes out of them and car seats out of them and so many beneficial things made from cows. And likewise, we eat them and they're beneficial and healthy and lots of protein. And the cow, he's created. And he's provided for and sustained. And if Allah didn't provide for him, he'll die. So how can you worship a cow? Man, that's so silly. Other people, you know what they do? They worship rats. They worship rats. Rats. Stinky rats. And they take bath in the rat stuff. A'udhu billah. And they worship the rats. They have a rat god. A'udhu billah. People also, other have the elephant god. And other people, they worship the fire. The fire, subhanAllah. Just get some water and put it out, man. What are you going to do if somebody comes over there and gets some water? Man, get your God out of here. Huh? These people are so silly. Why is fire not worthy of worship? Number one, the answer to all these questions, because it's created. Why is the cow not worthy of worship? There's many reasons why, but the number one reason, because it's created. That cow used to be in the belly of another cow. And that cow used to be in the belly of another cow. And Allah, he's the one who created the cows in that manner, in the bellies of cows. So something that's created in the, and brought into existence is not worthy of worship. Who is the one worthy of worship? Allah, the one who created them. Because the one who created them, he's the one who's providing for them. So if something is created, then it has to be provided for. If something is created, then it has to be provided for. It has to be sustained and maintained. And it has affairs that has to be disposed of. Right? Who is the one who is disposing of the affairs of that creation? Who is the one who is providing for that creation? The one who created it. That's why the Muslims, they don't worship cows. And they don't worship rats. And they don't worship trees and mountains and stars. Also, some people, they worship men. Some people, they worship, for example, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They make dua to him, oh Prophet Muhammad, and they ask for this and they ask for that, and they ask for help. Oh, this is such falsehood. Why? Because he's created. Ahsanti, Allahumma barik. Because even, no doubt, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the best of creation. But he's from creation. And anything that's from creation is not worthy of worship. And it's worshipped in falsehood. It's worshipped in falsehood because likewise, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a mom. And he was brought into existence. And Allah created him. And he had a life, and Allah provided for him and sustained him. And he used to get hungry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did not know the unseen. And many things happened to him and occurred to him. And we have seen some of them in the seerah class. And he was harmed. And he wanted good for some people, and they even didn't even have guidance. And they died upon disbelief, like his uncle. And the likes like this. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had no say-so in the affair. Why? Because he's not the creator, and he's not the one in charge, and he's not the sustainer nor the provider, and he's not disposing of the affairs. Rather, he's created and he is sustained, and his affairs are disposed of for him by the creator and the sustainer and the disposer of the affairs. We understand this. This is ar-rububiyyah. This is ar-rububiyyah. This is the gateway and the pathway to sincere love and worship of Allah. And somebody who realizes that Allah has created him and providing for him and sustaining him, cherishing him and nurturing him and cultivating him and giving him so many good things like eyes and ears, and he can see far and he can see colors and he can smell beautiful smells like banana bread and you like banana bread? Like banana, you can smell it. Mmm, smells so good. And he has taste likewise. And he can smell the beautiful perfume. Oud, yatatayyabu bittayyib, tayyib. He would put on the beautiful oud and perfume. Mmm, smells so nice and wonderful. Alhamdulillah. All of these are favors from Allah. Allah is providing for these senses. Allah is providing for these affairs and all of them. So therefore, we should love him. Because he gave us so many good things. We should love him because he's our Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah, he mentioned in the beginning of the Quran, that the Rabb, he is the Ma'bud. That the Rabb, our Rabb, huwa al-Ma'bud. We want to learn this statement. Our Rabb, we're learning about the rububiyyah of Allah. He is the our Rabb. And he is al-Ma'bud, al-Haq. He's the true God that's worthy of worship. Ya yuhannas, u'budu rabbakum. Oh, mankind, worship your Lord. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and he created those before you. So therefore, the creator, he's the Rabb. And the Rabb, he is the Ma'bud, Haq. He is the true God and Lord who's worthy of worship. And everything that's worshipped besides him is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And that's because it's created. And that's because it's created and provided for and sustained. And Allah, he is the creator, and he is the provider, and he is the sustainer. So from here, we see the issue of al-uluhiyyah, the issue of worshipping Allah alone with no partners. From the aspect of rububiyyah and the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we realize that nothing's worthy of worship except for Allah. And anybody who worships something besides Allah, he is a fool and an idiot, and he's not very smart. Huh? How could he worship something like a tree? Okay, what about a tree? What happens whenever they need some paper and pencils? Huh? Or they need some toothpicks? They come over there and chop him down. Or, okay, what about they worship birds? Okay, well, somebody needs a tree. They're going to cut his house down. Get him out of here. Go get another home, birdie. So how could he worship a bird? How could he worship? People worship birds, you know that. Allah al-Mustan. What about stars? Stars is even bigger than birds. What about the moon? It's even huge, but it's not worthy of worship. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not worthy of worship. Even some people, they worship angels. Do you know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Udhina li in atahaddathu an malakin min malaikatillah." It has been allowed for me to talk about an angel from the angels of Allah, min hamalat al-arsh, from those who are carrying the throne of Allah. That the Prophet was allowed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to talk about this angel, from the angels who carried the throne. He said, from the earlobe to the shoulder is like 700 miles distance. Huge. That means that the angel is so big. But you know what happens? The angels, they're afraid of Allah, azza wa jalla. They're afraid. The angels are afraid of Allah. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their Lord who is above them. So how can an angel be worthy of worship? Even if it's big, even if it's strong. But Allah created it, and Allah provided for its strength, and Allah gave it its ability. And at the same time, the angel is afraid of Allah. How could somebody worship an angel? Is that silly? Is the angel worthy of worship? The angel's not worthy of worship. The prophets are not worthy of worship. And anything lesser than that from the sun and the moon and the stars are not worthy of worship, because all of these things are created. So therefore, we look into the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we see the greatness of His creation and realize the greatness of the Creator. And realize the greatness of the Creator. If the creation is great, Allahu Akbar, the Creator is even greater. And there's nothing compared to Him. And there's nothing like Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We close our class today with some verses from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah is calling us to ponder over this affair. And Allah, He says, أَخُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمْ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Allah, He says about those people who disbelieve in Him, He says to them, were they created from nothing, or are they themselves the creators? Or rather, did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they do not have certainty. So let's ask this question. Is the human being created from nothing? You just popped up out of nowhere like that, with ears and eyes and nose. You just popped up out of nowhere, 10 years old. Inshallah. How you doing? Assalamu alaikum. Like that, just popped up out of nowhere, 6 years old, 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old. Or were you born and brought into existence as a baby? You were created. So if somebody, for example, right now is going to be like, man, you see this phone? Yeah, that's a nice phone. Where'd you get it? You would not believe it. It just popped up out of nowhere. Just all of a sudden, popped up out of nowhere. I just got a phone. It was created from nothing. What would they say about that person if you said that? Call a doctor. This man's crazy. If the phone can't, this little bitty phone is little, it fits in your hand. If it cannot just be created from nothing, then how about the heavens and the earth? How about your eyes? How about your ears? How about your mind? Of course it cannot be created from nothing. Huh? Okay, if that's not the case, it's not created from nothing. We'll all agree about that. It's not created from nothing. Okay. Am humul khaliqun? Are they themselves the creator? And okay, you're not created from nothing. Okay, so you created yourself then? Huh? Possible? Is it possible? Okay, no. Actually, the phone, it wasn't created from nothing. But you know what? The phone created itself. The phone created itself. The iPad created itself. Huh? The cow created itself. The tree created itself. Is that not possible? Okay, so if these things are not created from nothing, and they didn't create themselves, then do you think they created the heavens and the earth? Of course they didn't create the heavens and the earth. So then what's the reality then? What's the reality then? For all these things, where'd they come from? There's a creator, and His name is Allah. And the one who created everything, He's the one who's worthy of worship. And anything that's worshiped besides Him is not worthy of worship. Because it was created. And if it's created, it's provided for and sustained and maintained. And under the command and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, we see the rububiyyah of Allah. The rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beautiful names and attributes, the Asma and the Sifat, Asma al-Husna wa Sifat al-Uliya, the At-Tawheed al-Ilmi, it leads us to At-Tawheed al-Amali. When we learn about Allah and His actions and His creation, and we learn about Allah Azza wa Jal in His beautiful names and attributes, and we know His Lordship, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then we see that He's worthy of worship, and we love Him, and we prostrate to Him, and we bow before Him, and we submit to Him with love and obedience and devotion. And that means that we have to follow His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's from the perfection of believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, to believe in what He has commanded us to believe in. So from here we have understood, in general, this affair, the affair of al-Rububiyyah, wal-Asma'i wa-Sifat, wal-Uluhiyyah.
هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.